little chazara to put this share in context. 2 weeks ago we learned this Gemara in Bamitzia that when there are two people living in a duplex house, one person on the top floor, one person on the bottom floor, and when he washes his hands, the water goes from the top floor to the bottom floor. So we learned that's a case where normally would say al hanizik lahakrach et atzmo. If the water is hurting the person downstairs, he has to find some way of repairing the hole in the roof, their jointly owned roof and ceiling, because the top person is doing a normal use in his house. And instead of telling him to stop washing water, tell the one on the bottom to put a bucket and catch the water. He has a right to work normally in his house. However, we said, if there's a hole right underneath where he's washing his hands, and when he washes his hands, the water goes straight down to the person on the bottom. In that case, Rabbi Yossi agrees to the diri delay. That's called his arrows. And when you have a case of arrows, when you're being mazik directly, so then this heter of Rabbi Yossi doesn't apply. We no longer say it's up to the mizik to protect himself, because over here you're damaging him directly. That was the case. So we said with the upper story and the lower story, it depends if the water is going directly downstairs causing damage, or does it get delayed? It gets absorbed first and then it drips downstairs, or it rolls down somewhere else and then it goes downstairs. In that case, it's the irregular rule of Rav Yossi that is al hanizik lahakrach et atzmo. That's what we learned 2 weeks ago. Last week we learned an exception to that rule, and we said that even though if the water goes down directly, the top person is responsible, that's only because he's using the water. It's water that he owns. But if it's rainwater, we had the tshuva from the Rivash, if it's rainwater that's going through his house straight down to the property below, he has no responsibility because it's not his water. He's not doing anything negligent. And it's the bottom person's responsibility to fix it once again, even though the water is going directly down. We did say, based on a contradiction later on with the Ramad, that if there's something wrong with his pipe that he really should fix, so maybe he is responsible to fix the pipe, especially that's a minute. But we said in a case where the two of them bought a house from a contractor, and the contractor did a bad job in the drain pipes, it would really be the contractor's responsibility to fix the drain pipe. And in case he moved out of town and is no longer available to make good on the deal, so now you have these two people living in a house that was poorly constructed, where the rain hits the drain pipe and then goes downstairs into the bottom floor. So there, the halacha would be, why should the top person be responsible to fix it? He didn't do anything wrong. He bought the house fair and square, like the bottom one. The contractor made a mistake, and the bottom one is suffering, so the bottom one would have to repair the damage. That's what we said last week, that rain is an exception to this rule that we learned from Bamitzia. When there's two houses, it will depend on how the water is going down. This week we're going to learn another exception, and from that we will get further insight on not a case where there's a hole in the floor, the plaster, the caulk is missing, the floor is faulty, but where there's a pipe that's faulty, or there's a plumbing pipe that's faulty upstairs, and that causes constant leaks which eventually find their way downstairs. That's what we're going to talk about this week. Before we do that, I first thought we're going to see another exception that the Rishonim make on this sugya that we learned 2 weeks ago in Bamitzia. Right, so once again, the Shulchan Aruch paskin based on the Gemara that if you have two people that have a house, the top person using water and the water drips down to the bottom floor, who is responsible to pay for fixing the hole in the floor? So it depends. If the water goes directly downstairs, that's called giri delay. That's the top person's arrows, and he's responsible to fix it. If it gets absorbed in the wood and then it eventually drips down, so then it's called the person on the bottom floor will be responsible to repair the damage. Now on that Gemara, the Mordechai brings a Raivya. Kasav Raivya. The Raivya wrote, This whole thing depends on the type of damage that's happening. Water that you wash with, you wash your hands, you don't use that much water, so that water gets absorbed immediately. But if for some reason the person upstairs is using a lot of water, then mazikin lo tole derkosol, it'll cause constant damage to his next door neighbor or to the neighbor downstairs. In that case, habile gira delay, that's called his arrows, and in that case, he's responsible to fix it. This is paskin in the Rama, on that simin the Shulchan Aruch, on the other side of the handout, the Rama paskin ha'kolafi ha'inyan, it all depends on how it's happening. The imamayim mu'atim, if it's a little bit of water, the kolon la'alter, and it immediately gets absorbed, afila belomaz, even if there's no plaster there, eino chay l'salik hazeka, the person on top doesn't have to remove the damage because it's not giri delay. But if there's a lot of water, mazikin lotari, with a constant damage, then derech hamizik through the ceiling, chay l'salik, then he has to remove it. What's pshat in this remote? So pashat pshat, the Mishkan Shalom says, is it just repeating what we said last week, what we said 2 weeks ago, that it all depends, is the water going directly straight into the basement, the bottom floor, so that's going to happen if you're using a lot of water. If you're constantly using a lot of water, so it's going to saturate the rafters until, even though it will normally get absorbed in the rafters and then drip down, but since you're using a constant amount of water, so in that case, it's going to be direct damage and you have to remove it. If you're not using that much water, you're just using water to wash your hands, so then the assumption is it will get absorbed in the rafters, even if there's not much of a ceiling there, and the damage won't be direct, and therefore you're not responsible for it. That's the way the Mishkan Shalom understands the Ramah. Okay, so that seems to push up shot in the Ramah, and we'll see that others learn differently, including the Rishonim learn differently, we'll learn from the Rush. So the next thing I'd like to do is to tell you a case that the Rush says, and you can tell me what you think the halacha will be based on what we've learned. The Rush, we'll see it inside soon, but the Rush has a shaila that Reuven dug a hole in his backyard. He wanted to make a pond for the rainwater to collect in there, and he had this pond, but after a period of time when the rain would really start collecting there, it would overflow the banks and go into the next door property and seep into the next door property's cellar. It would first rain, the rain would collect, eventually it would seep into the cellar next door. So the person next door says, I want you to get rid of that rain hole that water hole that you have next to my property. And he says, look, I put it a distance away that you're supposed to put water away, and I'm not responsible. So who would be right based on what we've learned so far? The mazik should be right because it's not the direct damage. It should be just like a tree. Just like when I plant a tree, I have that right to do that because the roots are going to eventually go out and damage the well next door. So here also I should have the right to dig a hole which will eventually cause damage to the person's property next door. The
difference between a water hole and a tree.
What's the difference?
I mean, a tree is a natural thing, whether it be, you know, shade, but a water hole is
Who says you have a right?
Does it collect water?
Well, it's a pond. It's also, you know, just children play in it.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm saying the value is he uses it as a pond. People play with it.
Yeah,
the children play with it. Everyone does it in the neighborhood. They all they all have swimming pools. They all make swimming pools.
But Pesach is counterintuitive. That it would appear like this, but it's really not.
Okay. All right, so we're going to explain why the halacha is not like that. Okay, so let's read the Shuvas HaRosh inside together. The Rosh is Simon Kuvches Klal Kuvches Sif Yud. Once again, for some reason, this is one of the very last Shuvas of the Rosh. Last week we read the next to the last Shuvah of the Rivash. This is one of the very last Shuvas of the Rosh. It's the last Klal, one of the final Simonim. So the Rosh goes like this. Sha'ela. We had this question that we just talked about. Reuven chafer guma v'chatzera. Reuven dug a hole in his yard. So the rainwater would pour inside it. But when the water is high, They break through and travel across the wall of Shimon's cellar, causing damage. Also, water, standing water smells after a little while, and Shimon's yard starts smelling. He can't go sit in his backyard because this water, smelly water, is next door. So, can Shimon force Reuven to move the hole? So the Rashi answers nearly. Reuven chayev l'salek hezekel. Reuven does have to move the hole. We just said even according to Yosi, Darmar l'niskel harkach etzatzmo. We just learned that we've learned the last few weeks that the rule is that the nizik has to remove his damage when I don't cause a direct damage. Right here, it's just like the tree. I planted the tree. It's only later the roots are going to damage. I put this hole in the backyard, my swimming pool. It's only eventually it causes the damage. What's the problem? When it's not a direct damage. Here Rav Yossi would agree, and this is the new claw that we're learning tonight. Here he'll agree. Because first of all, in this case, there's a big difference between tree roots hurting a well and water ruining my basement. Because it's very expensive to fix a well, so I'll dig another hole somewhere else. That's not so expensive to fix, but to redo my basement, to fix the walls, and the basement jobs are very expensive. So that's number one. The Rosh says this is different here because the damage is considerable. It's nafish hazeka. Also, the gam tashmish shal shimon kavua. Furthermore, Shimon, there's a difference between the use, the nizik's use of his well and his use of his cellar, because a martef, a cellar, you constantly use. Yeshal l'salik esasim. You can't say, okay, I won't use my cellar. Well, you could do without, but a cellar, you can't do without. There's no residence without having a cellar in the yard, because the water is also running the yard, making it smell. To lo kamer Rav Yossi al bebar ve'ilan. Rav Yossi said it's been only by a well and a tree. That in that case, afi shabar kadam leilan. Even though the well came first, lo yikos, the mazik doesn't have to cut down his tree. Why? Shezel chor v'sof shelo. Because I have the right to dig my well. V'zenotei v'sof shelo, and I have the right to plant my tree. Why do we say that there? Mishum tohasim barhu mayim uchanasim. Because the well is just gathered water. V'kal yochal anizik l'sar v'atzatma. The nizik could easily move it somewhere else. It's not like a cellar that you can't do without. Move your well somewhere else. The cellar is part of my house. I can't do anything about that. I can't change my backyard. It's easy to move my well away from the tree. 25 amos. Also, the well is in such a constant use that I could say I can't do without it. Either do without it or move it away. It's easy to move it away out of harm's way. And do that. That's why they rule leniently that the owner of the tree could keep his tree there. And also, that's the second taina. Also, it's not so expensive to fix it if you want to. It's not so expensive to move a well. Right, so the Rosh is saying a big chiddush here. And he's saying that even though we have a rule that when the damage is indirect, it's not a gire delay. We have a rule that I'm allowed to work in my property, use my property the way I want to. That's only if I'm not causing considerable damage to my neighbor, and also where I'm not impacting on something he constantly uses. Right? That seems to be the two rules, that the two criteria that the Rosh is using to say when the Matik has to cease from his actions. If the hezek is considerable next door, and also it's something that person constantly uses, so then I have to cease from putting my rain hole, my swimming pool in the backyard, because it's damaging his cellar and his yard, which he really needs. It's something that he can't do without, and the repair of it is very expensive, to plaster it, to do whatever he would have to do to make it useful. So in that case, the nizik has a good taina and can tell the mazik, you have no right to do this.
Isn't there a third factor here that the easy for the mazik to move as well?
Yeah, he didn't say that yet. We're going to get there. Did you say it? The mazik He didn't say that, did he?
He's
talking about the nizik in the right. That's the nizik. That's the case of the tree and the well. Right. Well, we'll but you're saying good. We'll see that soon. So there are two rules here. The first rule is nafish hazeika, and this is passing the Shulchan Aruch. This rush is passing by Shulchan Aruch. Kufnan hasted chav. Ruvein chafar guma bechatzero. Ruvein dug a hole in his yard. Shemegisham yikavul aselchos, that the rainwater should flow in there. Ukshirav hamayim, when the water gets in high, boken of over in derech chomos maitiv Shimon, it overflows and damages Shimon's cellar. Chay Ruvein lasalik hezek, Ruvein has to remove the hezek. It's paskin like the Rush. Now, the Rush asks further, how's this different than? Right, he explained how it's different than. Excuse me, it's different than the tree hurting the well. How's it different than the person upstairs using water hurting the person downstairs, right? That seems to be similar because the person downstairs has to live downstairs, but still we say, Al ha-nizik l'harchach hazasma, if the water doesn't directly damage him, he's allowed to stay up there and continue using his water. So here we'll pick up the Rush again. The Rush says, it's different over here also, because in the case of the Gemara Bamitzia, it wasn't that large of a damage downstairs. It was a little bit of water. All you have to do is put a bucket, and you, it's very easy to fix, and you can continue living there, and there's not big damage. Right? That's something that is easy to fix. That's the way he says it. It's not in the handout, but the Rush says, inside says like this, Hechada tafta nizig mimemi ha'elyon, where the bottom person is getting damaged from the water upstairs. It's easy to fix the plaster upstairs, to caulk it, so it doesn't damage the person downstairs. In that case, Rav Yossi holds that the bottom person has to fix the ceiling. So that little water won't go through the hole. But the Rush says, and this we could pick up on the handout, but if the top person is using a lot of water, that they don't all get absorbed in the ceiling, and they go down and they damage the person downstairs. Even though the water will make a nakiri delay, it'll stop and then fall. Mother of Yosir, Yosir will agree, the Osir, because in that case the bottom one can't fix it to save himself from that damage upstairs. He'll have to make a whole stone contraption there to stop the water. Downstairs one that much, they required the top person to remove the hezek. Right, so that's what the Rush says, and the Rush says that that's pshat in the Raivya. He brings the same Raivya that the Mordechai brought, and from this the Emek Mishmah, Mishmah Shlomo understand that the there's a different pshat in the Ramah that we learned in the beginning. In the beginning, when we understood the Ramah was saying, well, if it's a lot of water, so then it's going to be a constant drip. If it's a little water, it won't be constant. Now that's what we already learned. But the way the Rush is understanding this Raivya, he's saying no. In both cases, we're talking the drips not going directly downstairs. It's not like the other Mefashim said, well, if it's a lot of water, it'll come down directly, and if it's a little water, it'll be indirect, it'll get absorbed first. In both cases, the water gets absorbed, and then it falls. It's not Giri Delay officially. But the Rush is saying, if there's a lot of water that's going to cause a lot of damage downstairs, and it's expensive to fix, you have to build a whole stone contraption to catch the water and direct it outside. So that is this rule that the Rush has stated earlier in the Tshuva, that even though if the damage is indirect, normally it's al hanizik l'harchach hatzasmo, but if there's a lot of damage it's causing, in that case, the mazik has to stop doing what he's doing. That's the way the Rush explains the two Gemaras. That's pshat in the Ramah. And based on this, the Chazon Ish says, if that's pshat in the Ramah and the Rush paskins it, even though we learned before, the first year, that if I have a right to plant my tree, even though the roots are eventually going to go and hurt someone's well, But if I plant the tree next to the wall outside, and the roots are eventually going to go ruin someone's foundation, so that I don't have a right to do, because it's expensive to fix a foundation. I only have a right when I only have a right to cause a little damage to my neighbor indirectly. But to cause a lot of damage to him, where it's going to be a considerable expense, he's going to have to fix his foundation, so that I don't have a right to do. That's what Chazanish says, based on the Rosh. But before we go on, the Mishpat Shlomo says, the Rivash disagrees, the Rivash says clearly, and the Rivash had a tshuva, another tshuva, not the one we saw last week, he has a tshuva in Siman Kuf Lamed. He said that someone had planted a tree that was hurting someone's wall of his building, and the Rivash said, well, we have a halacha that if a tree causes eventual damage, it's only eventual, it's not year or delay, you're allowed to plant the tree. And he didn't make a chiluk between the wall and the well. So from that, the Mishpat Shlomo wanted to say that this is a machlokas between the Rivash and the Rosh. However, another contemporary poskim, Mishkan Shalom, I have here, he says Chazanish also hold that way. So the Rivash is talking about a different type of case. It's hurting the wall, but it's not really toppling it. It needs a little bit of repair. It has to be fixed once in a while. In that case, the Rivash says, okay, it's the same as a well. A well or a wall, it's the same thing. It's not that expensive. But the Rivash would agree, if it's ruining the foundation of a house, it's a very expensive fix. So that would be something that the owner of the tree would have to stop. He would have to cut down the tree if there's no other way of fixing it. Of course, so once again, if you can just somehow deal with the roots and cut those off every so often, so you'd have to, the Nizik would have to do that. But if there's no aid, so the only way to stop damage to my house is by cutting down the tree, I have the right to demand you, the Mazik, to cut down your tree so that my house does not get damaged. That's Nafesh HaZekot, that's a real rule. Paskin Lamaisa, by the Ramah, the way the Rosh understands it, the way the Rosh understands the Raivya, and the way the Chazanish and the contemporaries understand it. Now the other thing the Rosh said was, it also has to be something that the Nizik constantly uses. That was a second item he said. The Chazanish has a kasha on this whole concept. First of all, like Yeshua was saying, that you know, what's a svara, and second, he has a kasha from a Gemara in Bava Basra, Chafei Amedeis. Gemara on the front side of the handout. Gemara says like this: Papi Yonah. Ani, he was a poor person. His papi Yonah was poor. V'heshe harvei, he became rich one day. And what did he do with his money? He built a mansion. But there were people that pressed sesame seeds in the neighborhood. When they would press the sesame seeds, it would make his mansion tremble. Like we feel like the dynamite sometimes. It makes the whole walls tremble. So they were, when they would press their sesames, before then he didn't feel it. He had a little shack and nothing ever happened. Now that he has a nice palace, he cares that they're pressing their sesame seeds and his walls are trembling. He wanted them to stop. Also, coming to Ravashi, came in front of Ravashi. Amalei, Ravashi said, Kiavim be Rav Kana, when we were at Rav Kana's yeshiva, Hava Amrina, we used to say, Mordi Rav Yossi, Begiri Delei. Rav Yossi agrees, when it's his arrows, you have to stop that damage. So over here also, since as soon as I press down that machine, it causes the damage next door, the dynamite makes the walls tremble, that's Giri Delei, and the Mela, Ravashi Paskin, that Papi Yonah is right, and the sesame pressers have to stop doing what they're doing because they're causing direct damage. So Chazanish and Zakasha, why does Ravashi have to say that it's direct damage? We just learned from the Rosh that even if it's an indirect damage, but if it's considerable expense to fix, like the tree is hurting the well, the wall, or the rainwater is ruining my cellar, we don't care that the damage is indirect. So here also, even if somehow the damage was indirect, they did some pressing and later on it caused the walls to tremble, well, the walls are an important part of a mansion, they're very expensive to fix, and that should be enough. Why does he have to get involved with Giri Delei? Why does he have to show that it was his arrows? So anyway, that was his time, and that's Chazanistics. And so first of all, he's asking, where do you see such a svara? And second of all, what do you do with that Gemara over there? So the Chazon Ish goes, like in the Shemitz we spoke about, he goes through this whole svar and he says, what's going on with this whole halacha of Nizkei Shechinim over here? Why is this different than regular damage? Like, suppose I decided to go into your backyard and dig a hole there so the water will collect and ruin your wall, or I'll plant a tree in your backyard. I'll plant a tree there, and then that tree is going to eventually cause roots over there. You don't see it, but it's going to cause damage. Is there any shaila that that's usher for me to do? Because even if it's a grama benazikin is usher, I certainly am not allowed to do that. Right, so why all of a sudden does Rav Yossi say, well, if I plant it in my yard, it's okay? And to which he answers that that's the way the Chachamim have that right to look at what who should have the right to do certain actions. Let me see if I find the lashon. The nira, the Indian gire, this ideal of arrows, ikaro b'shikol hadas, it's a judgment call. Almilim noah esa hesed. Right, it boils down to a judgment call. If I'm in your property, so I have no right to cause any damage to you. I have no right to cause any direct damage to you. But I'm in my property. Like we saw and said, learned from the Nesivas in the beginning, I have a right to work to use my property in a normal way. But I'm not allowed to throw arrows into your yard. So what's called arrows and what's called a normal way? So that the Chazon Ish says is a judgment call. Shahim Adam Yichnas L'chatzah Chaveir, if you go into his friend's yard, Yita Ilan, and plant a tree there, Shasharashim Yazdik Vaisbaro, so that the roots will ruin that person's well. Or Yatzik Prishin Yitzal B'Song, to do the other things that are called Nizkei Shechinim. Certainly, Badi Havi V'Chalam Mazik B'Grom, he's called a Mazik. Al Kisha'ose B'Song Shalom, if he's working in his yard, V'Zeo Tashmishon, it's his normal use of his property, Ein Al Zeh Shein Mazik, you're not called a Mazik under those circumstances. Right, so that becomes a judgment call. And you could therefore say, well, if it's causing a little damage next door, so I'm out of mazik because I'm working in my yard and the damage downstairs isn't so considerable. So I'm out of mazik. But if I'm causing considerable damage next door, so then I become a mazik. It's the lashon he says is the b'chol makom chashav gire delay. I have it underlined. That's called Giri Delay. The fact that it's causing a large damage, that's Giri Delay, even though it wasn't direct, it wasn't physically direct. But if I cause a great damage, that's the same as Giri Delay. That's called his arrows. And that's shot with the Gemara with the Papi Yonah. Papi Yonah had his house, and he had a good time. Like, you're ruining my house, it's a big damage. But the other people, they said, hey, we have a taina also. We're doing something normal in our property. We're allowed to make our parnasa. Our parnasa is making sesame seeds. And this is the way you do it. We're not doing anything unusual. You press the sesame seeds. I've never seen it, but this is the way to do it. And it makes mansions, walls get damaged. So we have a conflict of interest over here. You're saying, well, your mansion is a normal place for you to live, and the walls are getting ruined, it's going to be expensive to fix. That's a good taina. But I have a taina here that I'm in my yard, I'm in my own property, I'm doing something that is normal. People, I need to make parnasa, and this is my parnasa, I press sesame seeds. Who should win over here? So, really, in that case, the mazik should win, because he's doing something normal. You're saying, oh, you're normal in your property, and it's ruining your thing. But I'm normal in my property. So that's why Rav Ashi had to say, okay, you're right, but over here it's gearing delay. Here it's a direct damage. Here, when he bangs it, it hurts the walls directly. So there, that's the overriding rule. When it's gearing delay, Rav Yossi agrees. When it's physical gearing delay, Rav Yossi agrees. If it's not gearing delay, and there's a conflict of interest, so then we go back to this rule. Who has the greater use of it? Is it a large expense? And we have to say whether it's that figurative giri delay. Let's just sum up what the rules are based on what we learned so far. So is that clear? It becomes a judgment call. There's no rules anyway. It's not a deraisa. It's a judgment. I'm using my property. You're using your property. So the chachamim say that, well, if it's direct damage, then certainly you can't do that. You're a mazik. If it's not a direct damage, you're not a mazik. If you're doing a normal use, if it's causing a considerable damage, then you become a mazik again, unless what you're doing is a normal use. and the damage is not physically direct. The way the post can look at this rush, I'm going with the Mishkan Shalom, they all look at it a little bit differently. The Mishkan Shalom is the simplest. He says, like this, we learned 2 weeks ago, Al Hanizik Laharchik Es Asma. When there's a conflict of two people in use of their property, I want to plant my tree, you want to have your well, Al Hanizik Laharchik Es Asma, it's up to you to remove the well, I have a right to plant the tree in my property. If three conditions are fulfilled, so then that rule doesn't apply. What are those three conditions? Number one is if the damage my tree is causing is considerable, it's nafish hazeka, so then we have to start thinking about it. If that use that the nizik has is a constant use, it's a normal thing that he, part of his property that he needs, it's his cellar, it's his backyard, something that he can't just, okay, well, I'll do without that. So that's also an added factor. And the third factor is that it's not the mazik's main use of his house also. Because if it would be his major use of his house, it's he needs to press the sesame seeds because it's something that he needs for his parnasa. So if the damage would be indirect, we don't care that it's very expensive for the nizik to fix, and it's something that the nizik really needs. I need it myself, and I have the right to make my parnasa in my house, and it's indirect damage. So once again, if the damage is indirect, the mazik will usually win. If the nizik has to remove his, do something to stop the damage. Unless you have these three conditions. It's a considerable amount of damage. It's something the nizik really needs, right? It's a house, not just a well that he has. And the mazik doesn't really need it so much for his use. Like, let's plug in some of these halachas, like a tree. The mazik wants to plant a tree that the roots are going to cause damage next door. So he has the right to do that. However, if it's going to damage the foundation of someone's house, so that's very expensive to fix, and the foundation is an integral part of a house. You can't do without a foundation. And a tree is not something a mazik really needs. Right? He could live without a tree. It's nice to have a tree, but he can live without it. So in that case, the way the Chazon Ish understands the rush, he can stop that mazik from planting it, from planting the tree, and if he plants it, he'll have to cut it down. If you have this water hole in your backyard, so you don't need that so much either. It's not something that you really need for your life. Therefore, even though the damage next door is indirect, but since the cellar is something the person really needs, he can't do without it, and the repair would be very expensive, and once again, it's something the mazik doesn't really need. So there are also the Rosh Paskin and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that the mazik has to seize what he's doing. Now let's think about the case with the water, and then we'll go to our drain pipes. If the person is upstairs, and he washes his hands, and it causes damage downstairs, well, he's washing his hands. That's a normal use. Right? Washing hands is a normal use. So even if it would cause considerable damage downstairs, and even certainly the upstairs needs his house, so he wouldn't have to stop. Suppose he's using a lot of water that's an unusual use. He decides that he wants to, you know, like the kids want to fill up one of the rooms with water so they could put fish in it, and that's not a normal use. And because of that, the water goes downstairs. So then it would depend. If the water doesn't go straight down, so that's not giving delay. And if it doesn't cause a lot of damage, the person downstairs could just put a bucket there to collect the water. So also, you couldn't stop him from doing it. But if it's going to break through the ceiling and cause a lot of damage downstairs, and there's no way for the nizik to avoid it, and he's doing an unusual use upstairs, so then we would stop the mazik from doing that. Because he doesn't have... Because here we have the three strikes against the mazik. It's a considerable damage downstairs. Downstairs has a normal use, and his use is not normal. It's not normal to fill up the room with tons of water. How about if upstairs has a leaky pipe? So the pipe is leaking, so let's see what the rules should be. What type of damage is it causing downstairs? If it's only causing a little damage downstairs, you can hold it with a bucket, and so then it'll be the same rule we have. The Nizik will have to put the bucket there. But suppose the bucket doesn't help. You have to stay up all night changing the buckets, and or it's causing considerable damage. And certainly my house downstairs is a normal use. And we're not talking about, you know, a well out in the yard over there. This is my normal use. And your pipe is not a normal way of washing your hands. A normal way of washing your hands is when you have good pipes. But when you take showers and you have a leaky pipe, it's not like we learned, maybe it is like we learned, but when you're with the shower. The shower, we have joint ownership over the ceiling, and so that could be Shiloh who has to fix it. But this is my pipe, and I'm responsible, and nowadays, I'm responsible for my plumbing upstairs. If I'm using water that's going to impact you downstairs, and it's going to damage you, so we have this three strikes against you again. Number one, it's causing considerable damage downstairs. Number two, it's I have the right to live downstairs. And number three, you are not living normally upstairs. It's not normal. It's not a normal use to use leaky pipes when you're washing your hands. And in this case, even if they both bought the house from a contractor, they bought a new house from a contractor and he built it, and it really is the contractor's responsibility to fix all the plumbing. And the contractor ran away. So last week we said it was a case of rainwater, so I upstairs have no responsibility to fix it. It's your damage. It's your problem. But over here, where it's my use of the water upstairs that's going to be causing the damage downstairs, I have no right to use water in a reckless way. Now that I know the pipe is broken, I have no right to use water in a reckless way that is causing considerable damage down you for you to fix it. The pipes is an expensive job, and you're living normally downstairs. I have no right to use those pipes. So in this case, where it's a leaky pipe, not like the case where there was a shower and the water might cause a little damage downstairs, and maybe even it causes a lot. It could be that you're responsible also. It's your floor also. But over here, where it's a pipe that I'm responsible for the pipe, and the water I own, like we said last week, it goes through the water meter. I own this water, and I'm causing considerable damage downstairs. So that's called gire delay. It's no worse than the case of the rainwater. Maybe you'll say, I don't own the water, because I don't want to be cone of the water that's dripping downstairs. But in the case of the rainwater, also, you know, the rainwater collects there by itself, and it goes next door. Since it's an unusual use, and it's causing considerable damage, and it's expensive to fix next door, I'm not allowed to do that. So same thing over here. I'm not allowed to use this water in a way that's going to cause you considerable damage and prevent you from living a normal existence downstairs. The Mishkan Shalom concludes, or I'm going to conclude, he goes further, but he says one other application of this halacha will be, even though we said I can plant a tree that the roots will eventually knock out your well, but if I plant a tree, we already saw, I can't, the Chazanish said, I can't knock out your foundation. But he says the same thing, which is a very common issue. If I plant a tree that's going to knock out your sewage line, the roots are going to, and that becomes an expensive job to redo the whole sewage line. So in that case, the neighbors have a right to protest, because this is not something that you really need. You can plant a tree anywhere, and or live without a tree. It's not something that you need for your life, for your livelihood, or for your living space, that you need a tree. And it's causing me considerable damage. It's going to be expensive for me to fix, and water is something that I need in my house. So he fit all three criteria, and you can force the owner of the tree to cut down the tree. Once again, if there's a way that you can get at the roots every so often, you can protect yourself by cutting the roots every so often, so then you would have that obligation to do that as a nizik. But if you can't do that, so when we have this rule that, see if you have these three criteria, and in that case, you have the right to force the mazik to seize his actions. So thanks for reminding me. Next week there is no shir. Hanukkah, we will be off. The repeat Chazara from this year will also not be this Shabbos. Chanukah will be the following Shabbos, and then Monday after we'll finish off with cases of water damage in the nether, and then go back to